Well, today I'm going to share a message with you that has kind of been initiated as a result of a word from the Lord that came through prophecy last week. And so I've entitled this message, Walk with God, because of the content that was in that word of the Lord. And let me share with you, first of all, talking about words of prophecy, I just wanted to give a few details regarding prophecy. And I'm not going to have you look these scriptures up, but prophecy is, first of all, is speaking the mind and the heart of God. So when we consider prophetic words, we just understand that the Lord desires to speak to His people. He still speaks to His people. And a word of prophecy is actually a gift of the Holy Spirit. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. And it is given, according to the passage in 1 Corinthians 14:3, the purpose of prophecy is for strengthening God's people, strengthening others, encourages them, and comforts them. These are the purposes for prophetic words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4, it says that it strengthens the entire church there, and it's actually in comparison to speaking in other tongues there. It's where it speaks about when a person prays in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. So there's the good of being edified yourself, or stirred and challenged, stirred up yourself, but prophecy is given for the edification of the church. Now, tongues with interpretation would be similar to prophecy, and I'm not going to teach all the details of that, but just want to share some of these introductory words concerning prophecy and its purpose. But also, all prophecy is to be judged. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 29. And I went back and transcribed the recording of the word of prophecy that came last week. And, you know, as I did that, I think I even shared during the message, you know, I was trying to recall some of those words of the Lord that had come, and you know, praise God for technology that we can record it, and you know, some might say, well, you know, it should be just, you know, it can't always be recorded. It should just be what inspires you at the time, and you know, I'd say yes and amen to that. But at the same time, if you can get the details of what the Lord said and contemplate or reflect on that, I think that we can receive more, be stirred and challenged or edified and strengthened more. And I want to be careful as I share this with you. And the prophecy is on the back side of your sermon notes there. You know, I want you to understand that as I share this and give some reflection or some teaching on this word of prophecy, that please understand, Pastor Roger has not gone to teaching prophecies, his own prophecies, rather than teaching the Word of God. I mean, that would be a mistake, you know, just prophesy and then teach what that prophecy said. Actually, I believe that, you know, part of what I'm doing today is really kind of judging that prophecy and seeing how it relates or connects to God's written Word. That's how you judge prophecy, is how does this agree with the Word of God? And if there are parts of it that don't agree, it needs to be dealt with in an appropriate way. One of the things that, as you can see, how I started out sharing that, and this is one of the things that I guess I feel more comfortable with. I began with, I sense the Lord saying these words. And see, you know, any time someone says, you know, thus saith the Lord, or God said this, or God told me this, it always needs to be discerned. It always needs to be judged. Just because someone has said, God said this to me, you know, sometimes we hear other things. We hear our own thoughts. Sometimes we can even hear what I would call demonic voices that are trying to, you know, bring deception or that kind of thing. So it's always appropriate to judge every word. And I judge the words I hear myself. I evaluate the words I hear myself. And I don't think it's a lack of confidence on my part when I say I sense the Lord saying this rather than God told me this. It's just I'm trying to be careful. I'm trying to be careful to not put you in a position where you feel like, well, he said God said it, so we better just take it as God's word. No, it always needs to be discerned. It always needs to be judged. And so, you know, with that, I feel more comfortable with initiating those words if I sense the Lord saying these words. But I'm going to go ahead and read through it. You can either read together with me on the back or follow along. I printed it on the screen as well here. So, but here it goes. I'm calling my people to a higher place, to walk in higher heights than you have walked before, to do things that you have never done before, things that are going to require boldness, things that are going to require the strength of the Lord. You have sung about the joy of the Lord being your strength. You have said that there is none like you. You have declared those words to me, says the Lord, and I am calling you to that today. That if you believe that, that if you say there is none like you, then draw from me, says the Lord your God. Let my strength infuse you. Let my strength strengthen you to do the works that I am calling you, to that higher place that I have called you to walk in. A higher plane, says the Lord, you shall mount up with wings as eagles as you wait upon me. You shall walk in the heights that I have called you to. But it's going to require faith. It's going to require trust. It's going to require that you walk with me on a daily basis. You listening to the word of the Lord so that you can take the steps that I have ordered for you, says the Lord. This is the place that I am calling you to. Walk there in it. And then again, I sense the Lord saying this as well. As this is the beginning of a new year, let it be the beginning of a new day for you. Let it be the beginning of a new day for this church. Let it be the beginning, says the Lord, of you walking in those places that I have called you to. Look at it as a fresh start, says the Lord. Don't look at the past. Don't look at the circumstances saying, well, we can't because of whatever. Look at it as a new time, a new experience for new opportunities, says the Lord, and walk there in it. Okay, I want to kind of give an overview of a synopsis of some of the things that were declared in this word. It speaks about a higher place or higher heights. We're going to look at places a little bit more detailed here, but as this word came forth, it said things never done before. It's going to require boldness. It will require the strength of the Lord. It's going to require faith, require trust, require walking with the Lord on a daily basis, and that means listening to be able to take the steps that God has ordered. You know, the scripture says that the steps of a good man or the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. We're going to look at more of that at another time, not today. But that's something that we need to understand. God has established steps for you to take, his will for you to live out. And we want to be able to walk in those steps that he has ordered. But, okay, I'm going to go on. Described it being like a new year is like a new day for us, a fresh start for you, and a fresh start for this church, for Praise Fellowship Church. And here's one of the admonitions or the encouragements to us from the Lord. It says, don't look at the past or at the circumstances saying we can't. You know, I don't know if you guys are affected like me, but that those are probably one of the greatest hindrances for me from how can I say this, from being challenged to new things, is things that have happened in the past or circumstances that are present. You know, maybe this was more a prophetic word for me, and you just got to listen alongside. But you know, the past experience and present circumstances are often the challenging things that prevent me from pressing on ahead for new things that the Lord would have. And so the Lord is giving, you know, guard against that. Don't look at the past or at the circumstances saying we can't. Excuse me. But instead, new experiences, look at it as a new experience and new opportunities. And then again, the word of the Lord, walk in it. Now, you know, I want to say this too as we get into this, that this really is not a new word or a new experience for for us as a church. I mean, it is a new word, or the Lord is challenging us with this word. But I just want to, I guess I want to say this. I want to commend you people as a congregation for having responded to many things that the Lord has presented for us or to us over the years, and it has given us as opportunities or challenges, ways that we can function in the steps that He has ordered for us, and things that we would present to this community or to people around us, or even in one instance, quite a distance from us. And I'll just share some of these things. And obviously, I'm not going to hit them all. Obviously, there's been things that we've walked in corporately together, and there's been things that you have walked in personally. Remember, this prophetic word was not just for us as a church with new opportunities and new things, but for you as well, a new start for you as well. And I know that you personally have walked in new things, and so I'm not trying to discredit those by sharing some of these things that just came to mind as I was reflecting on this, and wanting to share that we're not a dead body that's never done anything, that we have a function in these activities of the Lord, and some of them are. You know, I was just going back, and I remember when we established Club IOU as a community youth center up on Main Street. And, you know, there's ebbs and flows to, you know, any ministry that happens within the church. We started small groups at one time and had a significant number of people involved in small groups, and that ebbed and flowed, and some of these are things that you know, we walk in and experience it in different ways at different times, you know, these are things that we have stepped out in and done for the sake of the community and for the sake of the people gathering here as well. One of the things that I thought of was, you know, establishing a church 300 miles away from here. When we took on that, what I believe was a direction of the Lord, a word of the Lord to help establish a church in Park Rapids. You know, you folks, in many ways, we're involved in that. Some of you directly going up to minister on particular weekends, and our music team going up a few times in advance with some special event meetings and so forth. And it was just, those are some things that we've stepped out of the ordinary and have taken the opportunities that the Lord put before us. You know, one of the things I would say is putting on this building addition was an act of faith, an act of trust. When, you know, we looked at the cost of it, you know, it wasn't a lot of, well, can we do this or not? It was just like, you know what, we feel the Lord is calling us to do this. Let's do this. It's going to be a way that we have room to grow. And you might say, well, we haven't grown a lot since we've put on the addition. What's up with that? You know, was there really a purpose for this addition? But I believe, you know, we're not done yet. We haven't finished yet. This is not where we have settled and said, well, this is all we're going to have. But the other things that we've been able to do is, well, for one thing, we've been able to do weddings. We've been able to do funerals, you know, that we would not have otherwise been able to. Yay, we got to do funerals. Okay, so it didn't come out exactly like, let's celebrate. We got to do funerals. How can I say that better? I don't know. You know what I mean. But anyway, you know, and some of the other things that have been opportunities, new things that we ventured out on that we probably would not have done otherwise, you know, without the addition of this building, is our game feed and the motorcycle rally. You know, those kinds of things that we would have been looking for other facilities to do them, or maybe not have done them. But even those things, and I want to give credit to those like, you know, Charlie, who really, he was saying no to the Lord for quite a long time, and not feeling like he had the administrative abilities to, you know, put together something like this, a sportsman's big event, a game feed. But the Lord showed him how to bring others on board, and that was you folks coming on board to see that, you know, there is an opportunity for us to serve the community around us and also to have an evangelistic outreach. And so you guys, you know, grabbed hold of that. And so when these words of the Lord are coming, it's not like these are foreign words to you guys, and not like you don't know how to respond to these things. You have. But the Lord is going to challenge us with more, and as He said, new things. So I just want you to see that, you know, it's things that you've done in the past, and God's saying there's more, okay? Motorcycle rally, you know, Charlie kind of handed that off to Jim, and Jim took it over last year, and I want to just share these things too. One of the things that I want to talk about is when we talk about circumstances is, you know, we print in our announcement sheet a budget, and it's kind of our anticipation of what's going to come in. Now that budgeted amount is only what you give as tithes. Now when we receive special offerings, and many of you give, you know, like towards the game feed or towards the motorcycle rally, those are not put in that budgeted amount. Those are over and above and go, because they're designated gifts, they go specifically to that that outreach. And so there are lots of funds that actually don't get reported in that. They end up being reported in your end of the year financial report, and you see, you know, all the things going on in all the different areas. But that's where, you know, when we say, well, I don't know if we have the budget for it or not, there's things that we are doing all the time that we don't have the budget for. You know, and you guys are stepping up to, you know, Pastor's Nurture Fund is one of them. We didn't have, I've several years have discarded that. When that opportunity has come, I'd look at it and go, oh, I'd love to go. But you know, it's not in the budget. And I wouldn't see it being in the budget. You know, and I am just as reluctant as anyone to come and say, you know, I really want to go to this. Would you please help me go? Well, actually, it kind of took Sue saying, we can help you go, and taking the initiative to put it out in front of you guys as a congregation. There again, we're doing something that we don't have the budget for, because you guys respond to that leading of the Lord. I shared with you last week that, you know, there's going to be ample opportunity for you to give to things that are going on in this congregation besides your tithes and offerings. Checks over and above the 10% that you give on a regular basis. But only do that as the Spirit leads you. Just because there's ample opportunity, don't come to church going, oh, there he goes again with another, wants another gift for this. You just do it as God gives you leading and direction and the desire in your heart to give to those kinds of things. I'm going to have to keep going on here. Or some of the other things we've experienced, on our Wednesday evening family event, youth have been meeting on Wednesday nights forever. So that's really not a new thing. And we have the Growing Kids God's Way, the parenting ministry that's happening. And that's always been a seasonal thing going on, you know, pretty much year after year, and a couple of different classes going on through the year. And then this year, Ursula and Horacio just really felt the initiative of the Lord to establish English classes for the Hispanic community. And that brought about another need that I would really credit my wife with responding to for children's ministry and for food, you know, food provided before the evening service, so families don't have to concern themselves with, well, let's hurry up, feed the kids, get them ready so we can go. It's just you can come as you are, and there's food there already for you. And so that led to then the opportunity to serve the Hispanic community with the children's ministry, as well as our own congregation, and with the small group Bible study as well. Those are some of the things going on Wednesday night. And those are just us responding to the leading of the Lord and walking in the steps, I believe, that he has ordered for us. So as these things, as the Lord is challenging us with these things, it's not like this is a brand new thing for you as a congregation. But to receive the challenge of new, higher, you know, those are some of the words that are used. And so let's be prepared to receive that leading and direction of the Lord and to respond to it. Some of the things that came out, specific things that came out in this message were places, walking with the Lord, and in the strength of the Lord. And so I'm going to touch on these. And I know that I'm not going to get this message done today. In fact, part of it I'm just going to kind of give you some preview, really. But let's talk about places, first of all. And I'd like to have you turn with me to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah is a small prophet book, and it's very close to the end of the Old Testament. There's one other book behind it, that's Malachi. So if you go to the division of the Old and New Testament, and you find Malachi and back up one book, you'll be in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7. And I want to really kind of, you know, credit Melanie for this passage of Scripture. As we were reflecting on this prophetic word, and it spoke about places, higher places, and walking in these places, she just reminded me of this scriptural text that is speaking of the priest Jeshua, which is another rendition of the Hebrew name Joshua. But this is when Israel is still in captivity or still in Babylon, but is being called back by the Lord to Jerusalem. And this is something that is seen by the prophet Zechariah that's happening in the spiritual realm. But these places that we're talking about that God's calling us to are both, I'll call them both spiritual and physical places. Zechariah 3 verses 1 through 7 says this: "Then the angel showed me Jeshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Jeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, 'I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire.' Jeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the others standing there, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' And turning to Jeshua, he said, 'See, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you these fine new clothes.' Then I said, 'They should also place a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Jeshua and said, 'This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. If you follow my ways and carefully serve me, then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards. I will let you walk among these others standing here.'" You know, first of all, what I want you to see in here is that Satan the accuser is very directly spoken of. Satan the accuser is standing there making accusations against this priest. And, you know this. You know that he is the accuser of the brethren and that he stands before the Lord making accusations about you. Only the problem is that people hear those accusations about themselves and they oftentimes side up with the devil. You know, admit it. You often side up with his accusations against you. And what he's attempting to do is tell you, you are not good enough to walk or serve the Lord. You're not good enough to do whatever God would have you do because of this, this, and this that's happened in your life, that's either happened to you or that you have done. And see, what we need to get a revelation of the forgiveness of God, the cleansing of God, that enables us to be vessels that are able to be used by the Master. Purified vessels, able to be used by the Master. Purified because he has purified us, not because we have walked perfectly ourselves. So let's just acknowledge the accuser of the brethren, but let's also acknowledge that God cleanses all sin, as is described here. But then the Lord speaks these words: "If you follow my ways and serve me," and I want you to note the conditional statement there. You know, God is always putting forth conditional statements. Sometimes we wonder why things are not working out. And sometimes it's because we have not met the conditions that God has laid out there. He says, "If you follow my ways and serve me," and then the result of that is then authority over my temple, and I'll let you walk among these. Now, just to get a little bit better understanding of this passage, I want to share verse 7 from the Amplified translation. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways and keep my charge, then also you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among those who stand here." God is saying, you will have access to my presence. That's one of the higher places that God calls us to When he gives us these words, I'm calling you to higher places, he's talking about his presence, walking in his presence. And when he says walking among these, it's talking about the angelic beings that that are there in his presence. So these are spiritual places that God is calling us to. When we're talking about places, it's not just doing new physical things, something that I haven't ever done before and calling that a place in the Lord, but it is also spiritual places. It's spiritual authority. God will call you to higher places of spiritual authority. That can be spiritual authority in someone else's life, you being like a mentor or a discipler to them, having a place of spiritual leadership in their life, a place of spiritual authority, or rising up to the level of spiritual authority that God has already given you, dads, fathers. God has placed you in a place of spiritual authority, and he may be calling you to rise up to that place of spiritual authority, acknowledging that, you know, stop letting the accuser of the brethren put you down and say, you're not qualified. You can't do it. You don't know enough. Call the pastor. Let him be my wife's spiritual leader. That's wrong. What are you laughing for? It's not a funny matter. That's true. Dads, fathers, God has called you to that place of spiritual leadership. Don't neglect it. Okay? So, and I want to share this passage of Scripture too that just connects right with that, these walking in these places of the Lord's presence. It says, Hebrews 10:19, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. See, we have confident access to the presence of God, to walk in that spiritual place with the Lord because Jesus has made the way possible for us. Okay, then higher places. Higher places speaks of relationship with God. This is one of the quotes from Dr. Howard Morgan when he was here. And boy, this really struck me. It says, God does not have favorites. He has intimates. God does not have favorites. He has intimates. That's something to hold fast to, and I'll share a little bit more about that. So we're talking about higher places of spiritual authority. I've already related some of that. And it can also be spiritual and physical activity, you know, that God is calling you to higher places of activity, maybe a new type of ministry or outreach or discipling or mentoring or that kind of activity, or maybe another big event at the church besides a game feed or motorcycle rally. I don't know. I'm not going to suggest anything, but God may stir you in your heart and see. This is part of, I just want you to understand this. You have not been called here to this church for me to fulfill the vision God has given me. You have been called here to this church to be a living stone that is fashioned by the Lord. You have your place in this spiritual dwelling of God. And God will speak to you. And your connection with the other living stones that are next to you are going to cause this to be that dwelling of God in the Spirit. And so God may speak to you about an activity that others come on board with. Now that doesn't mean that everything that we do has to involve the whole church in everything. Sometimes it will be a personal thing that you do, you know, at your workplace or something like that. But I just want you to see that this is the place for you to fulfill the vision that God has given you. Okay, well let's talk about walking with the Lord. That was the next part of this, and I just want to share with you a couple of intimates. Okay, not favorites, but intimates. And you can just follow along with the scriptures on the screen if you would like to. Genesis chapter 5, 21 through 24, this describes the person Enoch. It says, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Now, you know, it's really interesting, this person Enoch, you know, some translations say it says that Enoch walked with God. You know, this expounds a little bit more, saying he lived in close fellowship with God, which I believe is excellent description of walking with God. And then in verse 24 again, it says, walking in close fellowship with God. And then one day he disappeared. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 says this, verse 5. It says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. See, intimates are people who please God, people who walk in a personal relationship with God. They're not favored because they are favorites. They are favored because of their close personal relationship, their close personal walk with God. Another one is Noah, that's described in Genesis 6, 8 and 9. It says, but Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. See, intimates are people who walk in close fellowship with God. And again, Noah had favor with God, not because he was a favorite, but because he was an intimate. He walked in that close fellowship with the Lord. I want to give you a couple of quotes by A.W. Tozer. I printed the quotes in your notes, but I didn't give credit to A.W. Tozer as the author, so I'd appreciate it if you'd put that down on your notes so that sometime if you go back, you wouldn't think, oh, Pastor Roger really had some inspired words here. Just give credit where credit is due. These are A.W. Tozer's words. But he said this. He said, we have in our, and this is from the book, The Pursuit of God. A tremendous book. I go back to it several times, and I know that I have shared these quotes with you before. They're so good. But he said, we have in our hearts organs by means of which we can know God as certainly as we know material things through our familiar five senses. We apprehend the physical world by exercising the faculties given us for that purpose. And we possess spiritual faculties by means of which we can know God and the spiritual world if we will obey the Spirit's urge and use them. So this is talking about being intimate with God. And what he's saying here is we've been equipped in our spiritual beings to perceive the spiritual realm just as definitive as we can taste and touch and see and hear and smell this physical realm. God has given us the senses to interact with this physical realm, but he has also given us the spiritual organs or senses to interact with the spiritual realm. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, look not at the things which can be seen, but look at those things, or fix your eyes, fix your gaze on those things which cannot be seen. Now, that's really a weird word. It would seem totally illogical unless you understand the logic of God's word and the logic of the reality that we have spiritual senses. We have spiritual eyes to see things that are of a different realm, an unseen realm. So we look at those things which cannot be seen. It says the things that can be seen are temporal. They will change. But the things that cannot be seen are eternal. They will go forever. So that's why we're to fix our eyes on things which are eternal. So again, this talks about having, you know, utilizing, it says, by means of which we can know God and the spiritual world if we will obey the Spirit's urge and use them. Okay? Then the next quote. Believing is directing the heart's attention to Jesus. It is lifting the mind to behold the Lamb of God and never ceasing that beholding for the rest of our lives. At first, this may be difficult, but it becomes easier. Distractions may hinder, but after each brief excursion away from him, the attention will return again and rest upon him. A habit of the soul is forming, which will become a sort of spiritual reflex requiring no more conscious effort on our part. In other words, our attention will automatically flip back to Jesus, reflecting on him, looking upon him, trusting him, having faith in him, hearing his words rather than the distractive words of the world or the contradicting words of the world. Our attention continually drawn to him and that becoming a reflex of our spirit being. Okay, well, I'm going to, like I said, just kind of give you a preview in this passage of Scripture. I'll have you look up with me Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 through 20. And I'm just going to introduce or preview, Lord willing, share this topic of Scripture with you next week, or this topic of the strength of the Lord, walking in the strength of the Lord, walking with the Lord in His strength, I'll put it that way, because we're going to go back and talk more about walking with the Lord as well. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, just a couple of things from here. First of all, it says, be careful how you live. It says, make the most of every opportunity. Don't live haphazardly. God has steps for you to walk in. He has ordered steps for you. Walk in those steps He has ordered for you. Not living haphazardly, but being careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity. The Lord's word spoke about new opportunities. Do you have eyes to see those opportunities, those doors that the Lord opens for you? It says, don't act thoughtlessly. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. How can we walk with Him if we don't understand what He wants us to do? Okay, then there's the instruction of don't be drunk with wine. And in contrast to that, it says, instead be filled with the Spirit. You know, so it's very interesting, and I'll share these things with you next week, both the likenesses of walking or being filled with the Spirit with drunkenness, and the contradictions of being filled with the Spirit with drunkenness. I'm going to share both of those with you next week, and I basically, again, Lord willing, I'm going to share with you how to get your spiritual drunk on. Okay? Oh, I want to hear that message. See, I'm just kind of tantalizing you. This is your appetizer here today. Next week, you get the spiritual drunk. Okay, so like I said, that's a little bit of a preview. And I, you know, I have to do this too, because I think this is significant with the word of the Lord that came. And this is a word that I got from the Lord. Actually, it was Thanksgiving weekend. I was spending some time just away, kind of a spiritual retreat, overnight retreat here up at the church, and I got this word from the Lord, and I tell you, I have never had such a weird, illogical word from the Lord, and it was two words. It was Steamboat Willie. No kidding. I, you know, and it's not like I, you know, had been sitting watching. How many of you, okay, first of all, how many of you know what Steamboat Willie is? Okay? Steamboat Willie. You'll know as soon as I put out the graphic. Well, go ahead. Steamboat Willie is the very first cartoon of Mickey the Mouse. Mickey Mouse. Mickey? Mickey Mouse, yeah. And, but, you know, I was, like I said, I was in a time of seeking the Lord, and Steamboat Willie. What does that mean? So, you know, but I believe that I've gotten some insight, and I'll share that with you one of these coming weeks, Lord willing. Keep saying that, because, you know, I want to make sure that it's Him before I do. But, you know, I would just challenge you, if you want to go online, Steamboat Willie, the whole cartoon is there. You know, just do a search for Steamboat Willie. If you do any background research, you'll find out that for quite a while, Steamboat Willie was edited because of cruelty to animals. You'll get it if you watch the cartoon. But now, in regard to Walt Disney, they have put the whole thing back, you know, and the whole cartoon is there. But I would just challenge you, you know, if you have internet access, and all of you do, if you go to the library, you can do this, but just do a search for Steamboat Willie, watch the cartoon, and see if you get the same revelation I got. Uh-huh. Just imagine how our praise and worship services are going to go. No, 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 no. There was nothing that in that as far as the revelation. But anyway, that's the end of the message today, other than to share with you some questions for interaction time. If you can stay, you know, we have the refreshments back there. I'd encourage you to do that. Here's some questions that you can interact with. First of all, I shared with you that all prophecy is to be judged. And here's the question, how do you judge prophecy? Okay, you can just interact among yourselves that way. And another question, why do you think God took Enoch? You know, is there such a thing as attaining that level of faith and that level of pleasing God so that God takes you before death? I'm not going to give you an answer to that. I don't know if I know the answer to that, but it's sure worth discussing, isn't it? Okay, and then what are the spiritual faculties that we possess by which we can know God? What is the urging of the Spirit to use these faculties? See, God is calling us to some new things, to some higher things, and I just want us to be a people that are ready and able to respond, yeah, when the Lord says yes, or when the Lord gives the instruction, we will say yes. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we are glad for the opportunity to hear the words of the Lord and to be able to receive instruction and to be able to properly respond. We thank you for the examples that we have in Scripture from the testimony and the witnesses of people that have lived before us, like Enoch, like Noah, describing how they walked with you and how they pleased you. And remember the words describing Noah, that he did everything that you commanded him to do. And may we have the same kind of testimony, Lord. Father, I pray that as we venture into this new year, just anticipating the activities and the works that you would have us do, let us just be a people that are inspired, challenged, ready, stirred, not complacent, and not making excuses. Not receiving the words of the accuser of the brethren, not looking at our past or our present circumstances and saying, no, we can't. Let us be different than that, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed to the...